Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. And because this is the second time we're trying to record this podcast, I'm going to say that I'm no longer surprised that we made it to episode 23. What we're going to do today is talk a little bit about the custom t-shirt business and custom apparel. My name is Mark Stevenson, and I'm from Coldesi.
And I'm Mark Vila with Coleman & Company. And as Mark said, today we are going to talk about the biggest mistakes in starting a custom t-shirt business, specifically with DTG, direct-to-garment printing. And we're here in our studio. With Heath Schumacher, who is a DTG technician, a DTG salesperson, a DTG business owner, operator.
Yogi of DTG, guru of DTG.
So he has a lot of great information he can share with us and with you. And we're going to talk about just all about DTG business. So yeah. Keith, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
And so we're gonna break this down into two different parts. So the first part that we're gonna talk about are the basic mistakes that you make in starting any business. We did this for the embroidery business specifically a while back, and I really think it helped a lot of people and avoid a lot of those first-timers' mistakes. So we're going to talk about the business of things first, and then we're going to get into specifically how people screw up a perfectly good DTG business or a perfectly good custom t-shirt business, you know, having to do with equipment and the operation of the equipment and how they sell it and things like that.
Yeah, so we'll kind of do a two-parter in this. So we'll get right into just starting the business, and we'll focus on t-shirts, a t-shirt business, and then break into the technician side towards the end, and all of, and then that'll also break into the supply side as well.
Yeah,
the mistakes that I see DTG make, DTG owners making on a daily basis as they're ordering their supplies. So we'll tie all of it in together. But since a lot of people listening might not have started yet or are thinking of breaking into the t-shirt business,
let's start with the business side. So one of the first things that I see that people make a mistake in starting any business is they go from idea to purchasing equipment and starting to sell with nothing in between. You know, there's no preparation for getting their business started. So in other words, they don't do things like they don't know whether or not they want to actually do a corporation or a sole proprietor. You know, they don't know how they're going to handle their bills and accounting. They don't have a bank account. They don't do all those basics.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just educating yourself from just the basic standpoint of what do I need to start a business in your state specifically.
Right, exactly.
So more than likely, if you're in the U.S., you have specific state laws in regards to how you collect sales tax, how you file sales tax for your state. Do you need to do that or not? So these are just some basic things that it's worth some time and some money to consult with somebody or just get on your state website and learn about this.
I know in Florida it's really easy to find out that information. I will say one thing early on, an early commercial for DTG is normally when people are looking into getting into custom t-shirts, they look at screen printing or they look at DTG. And there are a lot of states and counties and cities that actually won't allow you to run a screen printing business from your home. You know, you need to get special licensing because of everything that's involved in order to do that. And in some places, you just can't.
Yeah, and a chemical disposal.
That's it. It's
a
big deal.
It's a big thing. Washing out screens is not the same as using a paper towel or a cotton swab on your DTG printer to clean.
Right. It's a little bit different process.
Yeah. So, which gets me to thinking about when folks are beginning to start this business, and Heath mentioned this before, and we've talked about it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But, going into it thinking that for the long term of the business, you're going to be able to wear every single hat and not preparing for that.
Right. So what do you mean by that? Heath, you were talking about that earlier.
Well, as a business owner, going through and thinking that I can do all the production, the artwork, the sales, the marketing, the administrative type things, billing, everything. It really weighs down on you, and there's only so many hours in a given day that you can get this stuff done. So being able to delegate this stuff to other people underneath you as your business grows is a huge benefit to keep the company running and being profitable at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've actually been in a business where like a big order put us out of business because we weren't ready to handle it. So that's a really good point. So what we're talking about is the different parts of a business that are sales and marketing. So you're going to have to get business. Artwork, you're going to have to produce great artwork. And that's something that happens in any custom t-shirt business, is people will actually buy their printers and not understand how to create art.
Mm-hmm.
So as if there's something in the printer that will make you an artist. It's like buying Microsoft Word and that making you an author. You know, it doesn't. You know, so that's another piece of the puzzle. So there's sales and marketing. There's graphics. There's accounting. You know, like, how are you going to, do you have a bank account yet? You know, are you going to be able to write checks? Is there any money in it? You know, I think one of the biggest things that kills new businesses is cash flow. So it's not just who's going to do all those roles, but it's, are you going to have the money to do that?
Yeah, and you don't want it from both sides. For one, you're going to want to be able to do things as simple as ordering business cards.
Yep.
Or letterhead, or creating of a website, maybe or maybe not. You know, business phone. There's all these little things that add up. But then it's also, like you said, just having the working capital. You need to be able to know that if you get a nice size order, it doesn't mean a $1 million order. Yeah. But if you get a nice size order, you're going to be able to have the ink and the cleaning supplies and get the t-shirts without putting yourself in a position where you're constantly juggling your money between, well, if I don't get this deposit from this customer, I can't order the shirts, and they're not going to have it till Tuesday, but I need to order the shirts by Tuesday by 11 a.m.
Cash flow is king.
Yeah, so.
So two things I want to say about that is, we did a podcast that was kind of based around a book called The E-Myth, and one of the things that they recommended if you're starting a business is, even if it's just you, to list out the role and the job description of each part of your business. Like, what is somebody in charge of administration going to do? What is somebody in charge of sales going to do? How about, you know, marketing? How about pre-production? How about shipping? And just write down all of the tasks that have to be accomplished. And even if you put your name underneath each one of those titles, you know that when you're ready, okay, here's the accounting part. Now I've hired an accountant or a bookkeeper, you know, to come in once a month, and I can take that off my plate. I can scratch my name out, and I can put their name in there. And the other part is, you know, we were talking about cash flow a second ago. Don't forget that even though it's a really profitable business and there are a lot of people that have done really well with Director Garment Printing and custom t-shirts, don't forget that they don't always start that way. So if you're going to quit your job to do this, then how are you going to live for the next 90 days? You know, you really can't expect like those first 30 days to pay your grocery bill. You know, so, you know, what are you going to do? Do you have enough money in the bank to actually have the luxury of getting started?
So, Heath, you've participated in and started and in other people's businesses and your own. What are some, say, you know, cash flow issues or financial issues that you think are the ones to just watch out for the most? Do you have any stories or thoughts?
Well, some of the biggest things that I've ran into is getting those initial orders, spending the time to go out there and beat the streets, talk to other business owners, because that's what a lot of direct-to-garment type the business is about, is extending out to other businesses to do fulfillment for them. If you don't have the time or the luxury to go out there, if that machine's not running, you're still having to make these payments.
Right.
Buy these supplies, do your maintenance, and also learn this equipment while you're trying to get sales and bring those jobs in. Once you have those jobs in, that means you have to produce those jobs. And then that means nobody's out there on the street getting more jobs.
Yeah.
So those are the biggest things that you have to sit there and juggle when you first start out. And I'm not saying go out there and hire an entire sales force, but you do have to have some help when you're doing this stuff.
Right.
Well, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and you said the word juggle, and you talked about this, and it actually reminded me of it. So I was.
Is it a juggling podcast? Because if it is, we don't want to.
Not quite. Okay. But there's a juggler involved.
Okay.
Okay. So So Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette. Yeah, I talked about his podcast. I listen to it semi-regularly. But he's a juggler.
Okay.
It's by trade in before. You know, he went to whatever, school for it.
Juggling school.
So, but one of the things he was talking about is organizing his day because he has TV shows and a podcast and he has to practice his art, you know, and all these things that he has to do. But, and he's doing a million things. And he said, when I get up, the first thing I do is I write for my book that I'm writing for an hour. Then I juggle for a half hour. Then he does this task. Then he does that task. Then at 11 o'clock is when I check out my email. And then I handle those things. And he was just kind of going through. And I think that that might be really important to organize a day like that for you.
Yeah.
You're not literally juggling for that 30 minutes. But maybe 30 minutes every morning, the first thing you do is have coffee and watch some graphics videos and practice making your graphics better if you're doing it alone.
Yeah, and you spend the second part of your day listening to some very useful podcast in the apparel decorating business that might help you with your sales and marketing skills.
And you can listen to this stuff maybe when you're practicing pre-treating.
That's true.
You know, something like that. So I just thought that was interesting that, you know, breaking your day apart when you are juggling and you're wearing all these different hats, you might just have to say, I'm not going to do anything but this during these times of the day. Yeah. So I'm going to follow up with all of my potential sales from, say, 1 to 2 p.m.
Yeah.
every day. That hour is just following up with customers, checking on invoices, making sure I've sent all my sales quotes out. And this way you're doing it every day.
And I got to tell you, I mean, that's really hard to do, especially when, you know, if you're working at home and you spend most of your days in your pajamas. You know, I mean, it's really hard to be disciplined like that. And also, as you go along in business, I mean, Heath, you know, you've got a great plan for every day for the next week, and then you get a big order.
Yeah, and then that just switches everything up, and you've got to be able to adjust on the fly at any given moment to be able to keep up with everything that's coming in.
Yeah, but I think it's important to have that to begin with, to know that you need to, like, okay, you know, this time in the morning, I think one of the best things you said was, I check my email at 11. Because I know what happens to me. It happened to me this morning. Is I wake up at 6:20, I grab a cup of coffee, and then I open up my email, and now all of a sudden I'm working until 7 a.m. in my pajamas drinking my coffee. So, you know, and it all starts with that email. So, you know, managing that is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that in the business world, because that was actually one of the points of that conversation, is that he said that he needs to be creative in the morning.
Yeah.
And opening up the email can sometimes add to stress, distract him from his creativity, and then he's unable to write for his book.
Right.
And I think that we run into the same things here. Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek.
Which is a great book, by the way. Everybody should read that.
Yeah, it's a good book to read. I think he's the luckiest guy in the world to be able to do all the things that he did. He has this luck chip on his shoulder.
He does, really.
He's able to do that.
Yeah.
But he does mention that as well. He mentions, you know, don't spend every minute checking your email every day.
Right.
And you might need to do that as a small business owner as well.
Yeah, don't do like I do. One of the other things that he said that I think is really important to be prepared for is that kind of sine wave of business. So we see it in sales too, where you make 200 phone calls and then you spend 2 weeks quoting and getting your equipment delivered to folks, and then there's nothing to do. So you make 200 phone calls. So it's the same thing with the custom t-shirt business. Is let's say, you know, you get 3 days in a row where your production is light, so you go out and make sales calls. So you sell a bunch of stuff. So you have to produce it if you're a one-man shop. And then by the time you're done with production, you haven't done any sales calls for a week, so there's nothing to do for 3 days. So, you know, your income fluctuates just like your time does.
Correct.
So that's where those other people come into mm-hmm. play and being able to farm that out. Now, have you ever done that? Did you ever, like, find somebody to sell for you or find somebody else? I know you do your own artwork.
Yeah, it got to the point where I was having to produce all those little things, like the business cards, the artwork for all that different stuff, being able to produce, being able to maintain the machine, doing the ordering of the blank shirts for the clients that I already have. So the more I got into ordering and stuff like that, the more orders I took in, the less time I had to sell more.
Right.
And like you were just saying, once you get that lag time, then you're basically back to square one, unless you have like a team that you can depend on. Right. And there's plenty of people that can sell. Use your friends. I mean, word of mouth is one of the best marketing tools in this industry.
Yeah.
And if you produce a quality product, and that's something that, that really stands apart from a lot of the other companies that are out there. And one of the other things is you never want to promise something to a client without being able to produce it.
Right.
So it's one of those things. You just have to keep on
top of it. Under promise and over deliver. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest mistakes that I hear about almost every day. And because we're in the supply business and I sit with customer service and sales representatives, and we hear it all day, and there are folks, you know, overnighting supplies, whether it's, I mean, everything, ink, rhinestones, thread, they're paying a $60 overnight fee because they promised a customer they could deliver something by Friday when they haven't done the digitizing or they haven't done the
graphic arts. They have no idea if they could actually do it, so they're scrambling.
They're scrambling. You want to say yes because you want the income.
Yeah.
And you want the long number of the business when we talked about knowing your numbers. You know, if I get this client, that means I might get 100 other orders from them over the next 3 years.
Right.
I have to deliver for
right.
them. Remember that those are decisions that you make, though, that you could put yourself in a situation
that's tough. And by the way, I'm just going to say this right here. Don't start a business without listening to both of our Know Your Numbers podcasts. I don't want to say, you know, toot our own horn too much, but for a new business starting out, knowing your numbers or estimating your numbers can likely be the difference between success and failure. And I want to make sure that you realize out there, like you have a reasonable way to evaluate how much a customer is going to be worth, you know, over time and through this one, you know, this initial sale.
And I think it's not necessarily about having a perfect spreadsheet and
right.
having 100 columns and knowing all this Excel work or having a notepad with 100 numbers in it that you've perfected down. It's about a mindset too.
Yeah.
It's both.
I agree. So we talked about, you know, the prep work involved in getting a business done. You know, having enough cash flow, having enough money in the bank when you start to carry you over, especially if you're going to quit your job and start your own business. But, I mean, a good rule of thumb or a low rule of thumb for most businesses, you should be able to run for 90 days without making a dime. If you can run for 90 days without making a dime, then you've given yourself 90 days to figure everything out, to, you know, to find those first customers, to figure out how to print a profitable t-shirt, to, you know, to work on that team that you're going to need, maybe find a bookkeeper or develop those skills, or build up your referral network and get people starting to sell for you. You know, you've got that cushion there. And again, cash flow is one of the things that kill business the fastest.
Yeah, you significantly increase your probability of long-term success.
Yeah.
When you prepare yourself for 60, 90, 120 days of saying, it's fine if I don't make money here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the goal.
Right.
Their goal would probably be to sell something the first month.
Right.
But to say, I don't have to survive, because then you get into that mode where you're promising things that you can't deliver. You can't say no to a customer.
Yeah, because you're desperate. Because you're desperate.
Because you're more desperate.
Now, we're not trying to scare you away from going into business here, because, you know, if you go to coldesi.com and you look at our in-business success stories, or you join the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, and you see, you know, like almost 1,800 people now, and at least 1,000 of them have to already be in business. And they're doing embroidery,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing DTG or screen printing or vinyl. They're starting nights and weekends, or they're going full time, but they're all making a business out of this technology. What we're doing here is trying to save you some of the startup pain that Heath, I'm sure, and a lot of the people on the group have gone through.
Yeah, we have thousands and thousands of successful business owners that buy supplies from Coleman & Company.
Yeah, that's true.
Thousands of them. There is a difference, though, between those who have goals set and prepare themselves to achieve and exceed them versus the folks who are just running the business and struggling. There's a stress level difference that you're
right.
going to deal
that's
with.
True.
There's a long-term success. So you can go in without doing all of this prep work and
yes.
be successful. We
yes.
have people that do that. but those people maybe have a little less hair on their head or have some more gray hair.
He was looking right at me when he said that, by the way. I don't want to say anything. We talked about organization and prep work. We talked about organizing your day. Mm-hmm. Even if it goes off the rails pretty quickly, you should at least have those goals. So you can avoid that kind of sine wave of business. We talked about, you know, maybe putting a team together or at least knowing the different roles that you're going to need in a business and what you're going to need to accomplish, and starting with some money in the bank so you can afford to make the decision not to take the wrong client, to put off a job that you're not ready for, or, you know, so you don't take a job that's going to put you in the poorhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, any other business, just direct business-related stuff before we dive into DTG specifically?
I don't know. I've got like a whole, because I've had three businesses that I've done myself and made huge mistakes in every one of them. So I have a long list of mistakes I've made. How about you, Heath? Is there anything else that you'd like to...
Well, business-wise, like just repeating it, is just knowing that I can't do it all myself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's because there's only like maybe 1% to 2% of the population out there that has that ability to be able to do every single hat that takes on. Like any corporation that you look at, they have an infrastructure built to make that business run. Especially the bigger it gets, the more people get involved.
Yeah.
So you, once you start small, just realize that you will build this as you go.
Yeah.
I think like that you don't, that doesn't mean you have to have full-time employees
right.
that you're bringing on board.
Right.
So it could be, you could be working with a freelance artist to do all your graphics work for mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
And you can work with a CPA to handle your bookkeeping, like you said, once a month, maybe even.
Yeah.
So some of these things can be, maybe you don't build your own website, maybe you have a company that does it for you.
Please.
You know?
Yeah, please.
So there's, or you bring software in that can automate these things for you to make it easier. So if you have good bookkeeping software, maybe you can accomplish a whole lot more than if you've got it all in a notepad.
Yeah.
So not only is it going to be cheaper to hire that CPA because you say, hey, here's my FreshBooks or QuickBooks account.
Right.
You know,
just do that.
Organize it versus here's a notepad.
Yeah. And I'll make this offer because I've made it on other podcasts and I've had a couple of people contact us on Facebook that, you know, if you have any questions about this, just email us at host@caspodcast.com or find us, Mark Vila or I, on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. And we will answer your questions, and we will tell you the truth. So one thing that I've had happen from that is somebody got into the custom T-shirt business and really had no art skills. They could use the software, but they could not develop a good-looking piece of art. And they sent me three or four pieces of art that they were thinking of, and I told them the truth, you know, that it's not good, you know, and here's why it's not good. You know, and I never heard from them again. So if you want our advice and our help, we'll definitely give it. You know, just be prepared for us to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and I think that there could be other little goals within that. If you mentioning the graphics,
yeah.
You could say, well, in the beginning, I'm going to focus on the machine and the sales. Maybe, you know, those are the two things I'm going to do: is production and sales.
Yes.
On the graphics side, I will pay somebody to do that. You find a freelancer, find somebody you can pay to do that, and say, I would like to do this myself and maybe, you know, have another salesperson involved so I don't have to sell as much.
Yeah.
Because I like the art side. So in the beginning, my profitability might be a little bit less.
Because you're learning.
Yeah, because I'm learning and I'm having to pay somebody to do the art,
yeah.
which is maybe more expensive, and
yeah.
I don't have an extra salesperson. However, the goal would be in 90 days to start being able to do 50% of the art,
yeah.
25% of the art
yeah.
on my own, and have...
Farm out the hard stuff and do the simple stuff.
Yeah,
myself.
And then have maybe 20% of sales coming in from a freelance salesperson or somebody.
And I
got
to tell you, that's how I learned to use WordPress for, you know, for web development,
mm-hmm.
is I found a guy on Craigslist because I needed a WordPress site developed, and I said, you know what, I don't want you to do it for me, I want you to do it with me. So I paid him by the hour to sit next to me, and we built that first website together. And then it was off to the races. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a good pattern to follow for any of this.
Yeah. That sounds good. I think then we could talk about maybe some specific DTG things. Some people, some things, some there's a lot of simple things
yeah.
that logic would say, oh, nobody would do that. You and know, they, but it happens all the time.
There are not many logical people out there. I'll be honest with you. So let me do the first one because it always drives me nuts. Is I have to get my DTG printer delivered by next Tuesday because I've got a job due on Wednesday. You know, we get that. You never hear that, do you, Heath?
Yeah, oh, Heath, how does that make you feel when you get that phone call?
Well, not to be like too rude about it, but sometimes I actually put the phone on mute and actually kind of chuckle to myself because I know that I start asking these questions, all right? Do you have the artwork already done? Do you have the blanks already done? Do you understand? Have you been trained on this piece of equipment? Do you understand the nuances, like, are the platens at the perfect level height? Is your gap set to the perfect level height? And all these different little nuances that go into setting everything up to make a nice quality product. And then I ask these questions, and they can barely even answer. So it's one of those things. You have to give yourself time to learn a new piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It's just like if somebody hands me or puts me inside of backhoe and says, here, dig out the swimming pool for me, I'm going to look at them like they're crazy.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I know this printer back and forth because I've been using it for 12 years. But that doesn't mean you have. You could be using a screen printing equipment, but it's totally different. Each piece of equipment that you add onto your business, give yourself time, a learning curve, to be able to learn that product up and down so that way you can produce a quality product.
Yeah, and that goes for embroidery machines. It goes for anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's also a I talk about it all the time, I feel. But the crawl before you walk,
yeah,
you know, type of mentality in business and in the custom apparel business, meaning that, you know, you should know when you're getting this equipment what's easier to do and what's harder to do. Talk to your, you know, if you're buying it, talk to a salesperson about yeah. it. When you're learning it, talk to a technician or a trainer about it, and they'll say, all right, printing 100% white cotton T-shirt is going to be easier significantly than yeah. printing some mixed blend,
yeah.
you know, red shirt, you know, with, right. with, you know, bright yellow, you know,
yeah.
solid color ink on it, you know, that there's different levels. One's harder to do than the other. So because what I find often is, it feels this way, that when somebody takes that big job in that they need to have done tomorrow and they got
yes.
their printer yesterday,
yes.
it's also something that's already hard to do in
yeah.
DTG. It for people who know how to do.
Well, you know what I think it is, and I understand the motivation, is, you know, maybe you're a screen printer that's been thinking about DTG for a long time, and you got an order from a regular customer, and, like, you're just tired of farming it out. You've seen the guy print it. Mm-hmm. You know how to operate equipment. So, okay, I'll accept your order from your best customer, and I'm going to order this printer, and, you know, we'll get it all knocked out in a week. And that's not the case. Or you're just getting into business, so you want to go out and you want to get your first order first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because there are some business people that will tell you to do that.
Yeah.
You get your first order first so you know you have money coming in, and then you'll go out and get the equipment and figure out how to use it.
And because there are business gurus out there that would say to do that.
Yeah.
And that can be a good philosophy for plenty of businesses. But when you're talking about a technical business, like apparel decorating, where you have to learn a skill,
yeah,
I wouldn't recommend an electrician go out and get an electrician's job and then go and get certified to learn how to wire
a house. That's a good analogy. That's
you
a
know,
really good analogy.
You know, that's a bad idea. That's somebody looking to get, at least with DTG printing, you're probably not going to be electrocuted.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Probably.
Probably.
I don't know. It's been closed a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, I think that taking orders before you have your machine, generally speaking, is going to be a bad idea unless you're dropping a lot of kind of caveats into it, saying,
yeah.
I can do that for you, no problem. Is it fine if I don't deliver it, though, for 30 days?
Yes.
When do you need these garments?
Right.
Oh, it's fine. It's for my spring, you know, event.
Yeah.
I don't even need it until March.
Oh,
right. I'd probably take that order.
Because that happens all the time.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. But you have to be honest with your customers.
Yeah,
agreed. You know, you just have to ask. And it will happen where you'll have people that aren't in a rush.
And honestly, yeah. like, you'll be surprised, you know, if somebody says they need something by next Friday, and it's like, hey, do you mind if I, like, deliver it on Wednesday or Thursday of the following week instead? You know, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, no problem. I don't really need it until the following Friday. You know, I just wanted to make sure it was done.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fine if you know that. And then there's also the, you know, the you just have to be honest with them. You just have to say, I'm getting this machine in.
Yes.
I can't guarantee you that I can have it by January 30th.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to understand that. And if you're honest with them, then... So that's one approach.
Yeah.
The other approach, I think, is to take the business and don't do it yourself.
Right.
Outsource it.
Yeah. But now you know you can get the business.
Yeah.
So buy the printer, get that in, and learn it while somebody else is filling your order. And, you know, then you get a little bit more money to get started.
Yeah. So maybe while you're learning your machine, you're outsourcing.
Yeah.
One of the biggest benefits when I first started up my last company doing t-shirt printing and stuff like that is while I was building up those sales is to find a network of people that do the same type of industry. And I subbed out quite a bit of work at the beginning because I was taking care of other aspects of the business that also had to be or were just as important as the income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So by subbing that stuff out, yeah, down the road, you're going to be subbing out less and less and less and less as you learn to way to properly produce a quality product.
Right.
Because that's the only thing the end customer wants is their product, quality, and it look good. Because that's all they care. They don't care how you got it done. If you had to drive 5 hours to go pick up shirts, they don't care. They just want a quality product.
Don't tell them that story either.
Yeah,
because literally, like, oh yeah, your shirts are going to be late, but you know, I got the wrong shirts in. You know, the wrong color came in, and this happened, and this happened. They really don't care. All they heard was you're not going to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
So like, give me an idea. You know, when you said you set up. Would that be like a screen printer? I mean, what kind of...
There's screen printing companies out there. There's large production houses. People that were in the same shoes I was years before.
Yeah.
And they've already built that company up. But I can use them and discuss this. Talk to those owners and stuff like that and say, hey, I would like to sub this work out to you. And I just as an example, I was based out in Key West. I was using subcontractors in Miami. I'm not in their market.
Right.
But they're not in my market either. So it was like a friendship type thing.
Yeah.
So I get a large 500 shirt order, and I still have a couple 30 shirt, 60 shirt orders, so I can get those done, and that 500 shirt order is getting done by somebody else. But I didn't do any of the work.
Right. And so tell me, did it ever work the other way? Did those people hire you
Correct.
To do jobs?
Yeah. So, like, you've got to be able to, like, classify your customers, like, jobs. Because there's certain stuff, like if I have like a one or two color, like say basketball numbers and names on there, I could sub that out to a screen printer at a wholesale rate and make only $1 or $2 per shirt, but I'm not standing at my DTG all day. I can
Right.
do that for the stuff that DTG is mainly made for, those stuff that screen printers can't do.
Right.
And then once that screen printer knows and I've told them and I'm like, hey, I'm a direct to garment user, I need somebody to do my screen printing for me because there's certain things that they
Yeah.
just handoffs. So, and then they're like, oh, you do DTG? Let me send you some work because I have these clients that come into me on a daily basis that only want like a dozen shirts with like a photograph on it. And once I tell them all the setup fees, the screen fees, the color fees and all this stuff, they're paying up to like $20 a shirt for it, $25
Yeah.
a shirt. And it's just not, I don't want to have that on my customer. It makes them have this bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
But when I can take that order in, sub it out to you for a wholesale rate as well.
Right.
We're both, it's a partnership.
So let me just specify here. Let me give you the breakdown. The power of direct-to-garment printing, for those of you who are just, you know, you're interested in the custom t-shirt business and you don't know about DTG, the power is that, you know, you can bring a file onto your computer, and I'm oversimplifying here, a full-color graphic, and you can print one shirt. Or you can print 10 shirts, or you can print 20 shirts. And all the setup was making sure the graphics were good, getting the t-shirts ready and printing. If you were to bring that to a screen printer, there are a dozen things that they have to do and spend money on to get ready before they print one shirt. So generally, they won't do it. So the power of DTG is full color graphics, different names on it. You can print one shirt at a time. And that's why a lot of screen printers add direct to garment printing to their shop, or they look for somebody like Heath to farm it out to.
Yeah. So we defined, you know, the problem was taking orders before you're ready.
Yes.
And the solutions are two things. Either have a network of folks where you can sub that work out to and take orders,
yeah.
but don't do it yourself. Or just say, I'm not going to start taking orders until I'm ready.
Thanks for keeping us on track. I appreciate that.
We've got, you know, there's two schools of thought there.
Yeah.
Neither of them are wrong. Neither of them are right. They're both good ways to do it.
Yeah.
It's just up to you. And if you have enough business to get going, you might as well get that money and outsource it. But if not, you know, don't spend your time beating the streets in the beginning. If you have good cash flow, as we mentioned earlier, then you've got the time to learn the craft.
Agreed.
I have another note that I made here, which is, I think, along those lines.
Okay. But
it's using your equipment without being trained or watching videos, or, you know, training videos or having your live training done.
Yeah.
But opening up the box and just starting to do things because you can figure it out.
Right.
Mistake.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
And the whole analogy, real men don't read directions, that is not true in the digital printing. Please read the directions.
Yeah, this is not an IKEA desk. Yeah.
And not just read the directions, because you literally, you could not buy a direct-to-garment printer from Coldesi, or I don't think anyone in the industry, without being offered training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unless you just finished selling the same exact direct-to-garment printer that you just bought new, and you were operating that one for more than a year, you need to take the training. You know, doesn't matter what your experience is, you need to get trained up on the printer.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead, Heath.
Yeah, I deal with the phone support calls all day long and stuff like that, and it's a basic timeline of when a customer receives their machine. It's like almost like a 2 to 3 month process is those learning curves of getting into it.
Right.
So they'll start off with 4 or 5 calls a week, and then it reduces down to 4 calls a week, 3, and then slowly you just never hear from them again because they're just getting through that first nuance of looking at this big piece of equipment in front of them that they've spent money on, and it doesn't do exactly what they want it to do. But then also knowing what tools they have, whether it be software, mechanical, graphically, that they can do to get a certain desired effect out of it. So those are the learning curves and the kind of heartaches that people have to go through when they're first starting up.
Well, let me ask you, Heath. I'm going to stop you right there. So you said like out of 5 calls a week, how many of those are typically calls that the answer is normally covered in training?
Pretty much about 90% of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, did you... it's like the, for an example, I have a blurry print or something like that. Well, did you raise the bed up before you loaded it, or did you try to raise it after you loaded? Or, and so my customer sent me a graphic. Well, what's the DPI of it? Oh, it's only 72 DPI, and I try to blow it up to 12 inches tall, and it looks like a checkerboard.
Right.
Is those
yes,
little,
it does.
Yeah. Those are the things that you run into, and it's like, yeah, those are, that's not going to happen to everybody, because, like, people that get into this industry, yeah, they usually, you have your artist type, you have your business types, and stuff like that, so it depends on what type of customer, or what type of client that owns this printer, what their specialties are, then their questions that they're going to have are going to be different from other ones, so it's, you've got to be able to teach that stuff, but
right.
One of the good things is we do have a nice technician base here that can help you with those questions.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
But I want to say one more thing about the training, because take the training. I mean, that's what I want to say, but like they're normally free, there's self-paced training that you can take with videos, you can take a live online training, you can come down to Tampa, Florida for Coldesi DTG machines anyway. You can take training here in our office.
Or we can pay somebody to come.
Yeah, or I mean, if you're that serious, you can hire one of our technicians to come out and train you on site. But whatever you choose, you know, make sure that you fully absorb that. Because I know what else is on your list, Mark.
What else is on my list is thinking you know it all.
Yes.
If that's where you were going.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you have run printers since you were a baby.
Yes.
You know, that you used to play in your dad's shop.
Well, that would matter because you would be on TV.
Yeah. But if you were in your dad's shop, who owned a printing company, and he did print service from, you know, he used to do newspaper printing, and he evolved all the way up to the sign world. And then now you're jumping into the apparel industry. I don't want, you shouldn't say to yourself, well, I know they say to do this many head cleanings, but I know printers, I don't have to do that. They just want my ink.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to say, no, you know, this is different. If you haven't done exactly this on this printer before, it's different. So go into it like a sponge. And the next mistake that's related is not asking questions because you think you know the answer. So ask questions, and if a technician gives you advice or a trainer gives you advice, you should follow that advice.
Yeah. And I think, like, what the important thing, unless your name is actually Heath Schumacher, you should not say, but this is the way I do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're on the phone with a technician or you're trying to get something accomplished, if you are more concerned with doing it the way that you do it than getting a good result, then you're going to run into problems. And we actually get that all the time. Even on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, you know, we'll have people that, you know, in rhinestones, you know, in the Pro Spangle world says, well, I need to be able to resize my graphic. And I'm just like, well, just grab the corner and resize it. Well, I do all my designs in Corel. Oh, then you can't do that.
Yeah.
And the response always, well, you know, this is the way I do things. Okay, then I can't help you with that part. You know, if that's the way you do things.
Yeah, I get a lot of questions when I'm on the phone with people of, like, how I learned this stuff and how I got to be as good as I am as a technician. And it's, I'll go ahead and bust myself out because I've made those mistakes. Right. I have messed up equipment. I have burnt print heads out. I have done all kinds of the stuff that, and that's how I'm able to answer these questions and be able to fix it because I've broke it myself. Luckily, I have a warehouse here, but...
Right. But I heard there was a fire once, but I think that's just a rumor.
Yeah.
I thought I got rid of that.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. If you don't ask questions of the people that already have done this stuff, then you're going to go through those trials and tribulations of being frustrated, hating the equipment and stuff like that. Don't get too frustrated with yourself in the beginning. Yeah. You have to have a little bit of set up a little bit of a learning curve for yourself. And write down, if you run into something or a question, write those things down. Send an email to your technician. You don't have to actually do a support call, but you can send questions and we can answer those for you or find somebody that does have that answer.
Yeah.
I think that with you mentioned about the email and the support and such, if you have a question today that you don't have an issue or an immediate need for it, that's a great time to put in a support email ticket or whatever it might be. So you say, I have this question, write it down, send in a ticket. This way you're not in a rush to get the answer.
Right.
So you can focus on the rest of the things in your day because you're not hovering around your email waiting
to print something.
Yeah, you're doing the rest of your things. And then tomorrow or tonight when you check your email again, the answer is there.
Yeah.
And now you save that in a folder or whatever you do. So you've got the answer to a question that you didn't have an urgent need for the answer.
Yes.
But you recognize that you didn't know it.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, start with this fundamental fact is, Cole, you know, we've been selling direct-to-garment printers for 10 years?
Almost 10, 11 years.
Yeah, something like
that. Since the technology was first introduced to the market.
So, and you can listen to our history of DTG podcast and find out exactly. I have to put the plugs in every once in a while.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we've been doing this and we've been selling printers, and there are hundreds and thousands of people out there in the direct-to-garment world that are operating equipment and they're doing a great job and they're making money and they're printing what they want to and they're perfectly happy with it. Uh-huh. Okay, so if you have a problem, we're here to help you. You know, but realize that it's not, you know, because every, you know, all Epson printers aren't terrible, and that's why you can't print. All direct-to-garment printers aren't bad machines, and that's why, you know, it's very unlikely that your machine is just bad. You know, it's more likely that you need help with the process, you know, or you need help with regular maintenance, or, you know, you have questions that need to be answered, then, you know, just going right to that.
And that leads right into the next note that I had, actually, which is... taking advice from other parties too seriously.
Okay.
So
what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is somebody else who used to own a printer, or somebody who you met on Facebook who owns a printer in another state, or whatever it might be, but it's not somebody who is a trainer or a technician or maybe not even necessarily an operator of the equipment, or they own a different brand of equipment, whatever it might be, and they tell you, no, don't pre-treat the way that they showed you in the video.
Yeah.
That's a waste of time. All right? This is how you want to do it. And now you're doing a technique that is, one person found this worked for them, but maybe they don't care if the white layer is completely, say, opaque.
Yeah.
That it's a solid white color print. Maybe they don't care if the shirt is poking through a little bit. But that's how they sell it. And
right.
That's how their customers accept it. And now you're having issues because you're not getting the white layer that you want, but you're not pre-treating according to the instructions provided by the manufacturer and the trainer.
Yeah.
So it's good to take advice from others and listen to others, but when the advice from others conflicts with somebody who is training you on the equipment, then it is your choice.
Yeah.
However, don't necessarily always take those things too serious.
And that goes kind of for the sales process too, because Heath knows he started with like, there wasn't any G, it was just a DT printer. It's so old, the technology that he started with, and there are significant differences. So you may talk to somebody online who's really bright and has a successful business, but maybe they have an HM1 DTG printer that they've kept running and running beautifully, and what they do to make a print and to maintain their machine and the problems that they have have almost no relationship at all to the brand new Viper 2.
Yeah.
And and that's even more so if it's, maybe they've got an Anajet Sprint that they've done really well with and they've tried a specific kind of ink. So they're doing all of these things and it's working out great for them. So when they give you advice, they're doing it from a great place. Like, I'm successful, I'm doing this, my stuff looks great, you should try it. And the answer is often, no, you shouldn't try it, because it's a completely different situation.
Yeah, I don't think that, and we can only speak from our experience in dealing with it, but there's no secrets being hidden in the DTG world that we don't want to share out in regards to how to do things. If we can figure out a way for you to pre-treat easier, then we share that.
Yeah.
And we also are constantly looking for solutions, having like the Spider Mini pre-treating machine.
Yeah.
We're looking for solutions. We're testing things. And on the supply side, I have people all the time, contact us with various ideas or thoughts or I'd read online I should do this instead.
Yes.
And I would say, I would, that's not what we would recommend here.
Yeah.
That's not what a DTG technician and trainer would recommend. So that's all part of thinking you know everything or thinking other people know more, because they have no vested interest really in your success.
Right.
Where we do. That's a difference.
I watch a lot of Netflix. I really do. And when you see all these TV shows, what happens? Somewhere in the plot of the show, someone tells the kid not to go to the party, or they tell the adult not to break into the police station or something like that. It's when people don't do what others tell them that they get into trouble. Okay, so I'm gonna say the same thing for DTG. Do what we tell you, or do whatever the brand that you're buying tells you to do. Do that, because the printers work, and we're telling you to do that, and they're telling you to do that, specifically because we've done it and we know that that works. So if you do that set of things, then you'll be fine. If you don't, then you're going to get caught breaking into the police station and go to jail.
Yeah.
That's what's going
to
happen.
It's trying to find shortcuts or ways to what I find in my experience with businesses that I've had worked with and businesses that I deal with here on the when we're talking on the phone to people, is that oftentimes ways to find trick shortcuts or save pennies oftentimes leads to more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
So if the pre-treating process takes a certain amount of time, that's no secret. There are videos online to see how pre-treating works. You can see how it works. You can see what they do. When you've got the equipment, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And prepare for that.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. And you will be much happier.
And I will tell you, honestly, we're working on improving all of that stuff 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not just saying that this is the way you're always going to do it. We're saying that we're going to test different things and different techniques And then when we find something that we know works, we will do a video, we'll do a webinar, we will update our support information. So as long as you stay within that constellation of things, you know, we'll help you be successful.
Yeah. And the same with embroidery and rhinestones and everything. Yeah. You know, it's our interest is in your success. If you're successful, you're going to buy more equipment from Cold Essie, or you're going to buy more supplies. You know, that's our vested interest is in the success of that. So I think that, you know, that is a mistake that folks do is they and it all ties together. You thinking you know it all, not doing what you're supposed to do, not asking questions, looking at others for advice because they found this hidden secret.
Yeah, right.
All these things add up to a little bit of that all at once can end up costing you money or wasting your time. Or just frustrating you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're still successful, but you just find yourself having been frustrated.
Yeah. What else you got there, Mark?
I just have... Well, I have not practicing, which we've kind of covered. But there's one here that is, for me, is the most important because I deal with it.
Okay.
Is waiting until you're almost out of supplies until you put in your reorder.
Right.
So you don't have enough... pre-treat shirts. So, and then you get an order in and now you're ordering it and you're trying to overnight or second day air 2 gallons of liquid,
right,
which is expensive to send. And you're stressed and you're trying to pay for Saturday morning, early AM delivery.
And you
UPS.
Don't understand why it's $1 million to get something delivered on Saturday.
Yeah. And not factoring in the fact that just because it leaves our warehouse and goes into a UPS truck, does not 100% guarantee that UPS is going to deliver it to you when they promise.
Right.
You know, they just might mess up. There might be a big snowstorm. There could be anything. So you're not factoring for that in. So you should have cleaning solution and flushing solution and filters and ink and pre-treat. And you should have supply of all of this stuff for enough to do... actual jobs,
yes,
and enough to maintain your machine.
And here's the thing, it lasts for a while. Do you remember what's the shelf life of ink?
Well, the basic shelf life for ink is around like 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means if you have a gallon of pre-treat and a little extra ink on the shelf that you think you can use in the next 6 months, do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just have more than you need on hand. I think
always have a backup for your backup.
Yeah, that's good. Because if you're using an M2, you know, make sure you have WIMS filters. Make sure you have all of this stuff. Because Mark is right. I don't think there's anybody that has better turnaround or more reliable order fulfillment than Coleman & Company does. I mean, we look at those numbers every month. There's very few mistakes. The vast majority of orders, they'll get out in the same day. But you know what? We don't work for UPS, and UPS doesn't write us a check. So Coleman & Company's responsibility is getting it on the truck. They're not responsible for how much you're paying for that. You know, for getting the Saturday early morning delivery, even if you can. I mean, if you live in a remote area, sometimes you can't get 10 a.m. delivery or you can't get Saturday delivery. So you're out of luck, and that's on you. It's not on Coleman & Company.
On top of you can't leave your shop to go for a sales call because you're waiting for the driver.
Yes.
Okay. You're stressing out about that. You're worried about possible, whether it's not being able to maintain your machine or fulfill an order or whatever it is. And the way I think about it is if you were to buy, say, 2 gallons of pre-treat, you know you need one, but you buy two, free ground shipping on an order. And say you end up having to toss 10% of that pre-treat.
Right.
Just because you let it sit forever, if you finally let it go bad, it would cost you significantly more money to have to order another one, have it overnighted shipped to you, miss out on sales calls and all of that stuff compared to maybe the possibility of maybe throwing away $4 worth of pre-treat.
That's true. And you know, Coleman & Company does not make more money. That's not a sales pitch. Because you're going to buy X amount of ink and X amount of pre-treat to complete the jobs that you're going to do over the next 3 months. You know, you're going to buy the same amount of materials. It's all a matter of whether or not you're going to also pay for overnight shipping and maybe for some heart medication because you're overstressed. because you're not managing your inventory.
Yeah, and just besides the fact of just risk to equipment damage.
True.
If you need to do machine maintenance and you don't have the cleaning solution to do it,
yep,
you can't maintain your machine.
And before we move on too much, because I think we're getting
kind
of long here.
We're getting ready to wrap up, I think.
I want to move maintenance and maintaining your equipment back up to the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Heath, so give me an idea, Heath. What percentage of calls for existing DTG users are due to something they didn't do as far as maintenance goes?
Well, maintenance-related problems are pretty much about 80% of the calls that we do.
Yeah.
Not cleaning it off at the end of the night. Yeah, you might have a long day of printing and stuff like that, but always factor in the time. Like, if the end of your day is at 6 o'clock, your printing should stop at 5:30, so that way you have that 30 minutes to do your maintenance.
Right.
Always, always do your maintenance. Because say you don't do your maintenance, you don't clean around the edge of your print head or clean off your wiper blade. So when you come in the next day, you've got dried, congealed ink all over those parts, and then they rub across your nozzle surface. Guess what? Now you're having mechanical, more expensive problems because you did not do the simple stuff beforehand. The term that I use in training is preventive maintenance.
Absolutely.
Prevent the major problems from happening.
And it's not like changing the oil on your car. Mm-mm. Where you've got to put it up on blocks and get your hands dirty. I mean, you're talking about, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
10 to 15 minutes a night, and then you have about 5 minutes in the morning. And that 5 minutes in the morning, you're actually going to fill up a cup of coffee while it's doing its own thing. Because
right.
A lot of it's automated. So, but if you don't do those things, then you're going to have problems. It might not be a problem tomorrow, but as it extends out, it quantifies itself and basically starts stacking up to the point where it becomes terminal. And then you're frustrated because the machine's not working properly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like when we preach, we'll ask for pictures of customers. Like, that's one of the first thing a technician does is be like, all right, I'm having this issue. I'm not getting a good nozzle check. Well, when's the last time you got a good nozzle check? And if you tell me last week, you're supposed to be doing this every morning.
Right.
So, and if you're not doing that proper maintenance, then how am I supposed to be able to figure out what's going on with it? That's one of our biggest qualities that we look for in technicians is being an investigator, is being able to ask these questions to our clients to figure out what's going on, so that way we can give better advice on how to correct it.
Right. And be honest with yourself and with us. If you do have a problem and you need to call.
Yeah.
Because one of the first questions. The first questions that a technician will ask you is about maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say that, oh, yes, I do it every day and every night. You're going to send a picture of your printhead.
And we know.
And it's obvious that you don't. So you may as well just say, well, I haven't been doing my maintenance. And that's going to cost you.
Yeah. Well, with maintenance, and it just because you didn't do it one day doesn't mean that your machine's going to break tomorrow.
Right.
So you think, well, they say do it every day. But I do it 3 days a week, and it's been fine for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a building up issue.
Yeah.
I mean it is going to be fine for maybe 6 weeks, or it is going to be fine for 8 weeks or 3 months. However, you will not get the same life out of your equipment.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that it's permanently dead, but just parts that are that you should be replacing and taking care of.
Yeah.
You're going to end up having to replace or take care of them sooner than later. And the same thing with altering how you do your maintenance, what ink and types you're using, all of these things can be issues that build up over time, where it might not be for 90 days until you realize that all of that little stuff I didn't do just built up to where now I'm having to spend time or money on something I wouldn't have had to.
Yeah, and I'm going to add a little, another thing that I've heard about a couple of times, and that's, it's kind of like maintenance, is you get your DTG printer, and we've gotten phone calls, I bought my printer in October of last year, and I'm just unboxing it now. What kind of problems can that kind of thing cause?
I mean, there's all kinds of things, like with leaving a piece of equipment sitting in a box for it, there's environmental issues, dust issues, things like that. So pulling that stuff out of the box, you have to go through some basic maintenance, starting it up, things like that. I would definitely recommend getting on the line with technicians, going through the training before you even pull it out of the box.
Yeah.
So even though you might have gotten in, you've watched the videos when you were thinking about purchasing it, and it looks easy, and all this other stuff, but before you pull it out and start loading it up with ink, go through the training.
Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. If you haven't gone through that training, this will be a very frustrating piece of equipment.
Right. So maintenance is a huge thing, whether or not, you know, you're just getting started or you're an old timer. Mm-hmm. And adjusting that maintenance schedule, you know, according to your own opinions or someone else's opinions is just what Mark Vila was saying earlier. You know, that's taking people's advice, you know, over the standard procedures, and it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, I think that we covered a bunch of things, and I think that what I'm getting out of this as a main point on the DTG side, not on the business side, is that this is, it's not impossibly hard. It's not terribly hard to do. It's not tons and tons of work to maintain, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
However, this is a craft that you're learning. It's a piece of equipment that you're learning. Just like embroidery or just like rhinestone equipment or a cutter or anything like that. Just like if somebody were to buy a forklift or if somebody were
screen printing,
or if somebody were to you know, decide that they're going to be a plumber.
Yeah.
All of these things are skills and trades that you learn. There's a learning curve for all of it. Some things you're going to pick up immediately.
Yeah.
Now, I'm good with software. That's one of the things I'm good with.
Yep.
You can hand me a piece of software. If you give me a few videos, I'm going to feel comfortable with it right away.
That's true.
I was just speaking with a friend of mine about apps. They were asking me something about how to do something on an app. And I said, the first thing I do when I download an app is I click every single button and piece in the app, and I learn everything that it does, and now I know it. And it's just, that's me. So it's easier for me than something else. So for you, it might be easier to pick up the software and learn how to use the RIP software and the graphics software.
Yeah.
And maybe putting the shirt on the machine is harder for you, or pre-treating.
Right.
So everyone's going to be different, but it's a skill that you're learning, and take time to learn your craft, however long it takes you to learn it.
Yeah. And we talked about two sets of things. We talked about the basics of business. We talked about the specifics of DTG. And remember, the topic of this podcast was the biggest mistakes made. I think we're going to have to balance it out, because like we did say, there are thousands and thousands of people in the custom t-shirt business. It's a lot of fun. It's a great business to do, and it can be really profitable. You just have to, like any business to get into, you know, do the preparation before you start, and do the maintenance and organization to keep it going.
Heath, do you have any closing words?
I'll be talking to you on the phone.
There you go.
All right, so this has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, have a good business.